Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight, we have a personal park ranger story in the state of Michigan at the Isle Royale National Park, where these crazy and unfortunate events happen while he is giving a tour on a specific trail. A missing child, and crazy lunatic supervisor, and possibly government or secret agency cover-up. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Hello, Campfire Tales. I was a park ranger at Isle Royale National Park in Michigan. I recently stumbled across your channel and saw that you post a lot of stories regarding Dogman. So I decided it would be a good idea to share my personal encounter with the Dogman. Before going into the park ranger profession, I hadn't given legends like Dogman much thought. And quite frankly, I thought that such legends were just silly fairy tales. But boy, was I wrong. This all started not too long ago, on April 2nd of 2023. It was an average day at the office for me. I was getting ready to lead a tour, and I was participating in some useless small talk with my supervisor, who wanted to win the game, complaining about our family and stuff like that. He did always seem a little bit suspicious to me, as if he was constantly trying too hard to seem normal, like an alien mimicking what they assumed a human would act like. Very suddenly during our small talk, he scolded me for wasting his time and told me to get to the tour already. I was annoyed at that, but not surprised. He would often do that, and I learned not to talk back after I had gotten written up the first time I did. I let out a sigh and finished tying my shoes before heading out of the cabin door. On that particular day, I was leading a 2-mile hike up the edge of the national park. I was sick and sleep-deprived that day from staying out at the bars until 2 a.m. the previous night, but I knew I could troop through this and give a good tour. I had to stop myself from being sick as the bright sunlight hit my face, and then I continued on down to the trail. After a few minutes of walking, the group that I would be leading on the hike appeared, and I hurried over to them. I gave my standard speech about safety and whatnot, and then began the great journey that I had led dozens if not hundreds of times before. I quickly became irritated at this group for having a bunch of annoying kids who were constantly trying to climb on things and getting off the trail, but I kept my cool. Suddenly, I heard one of the mothers screaming in fear. I asked her what was wrong, and she said that her son was no longer with her and that she had no clue where he was. I explained to her that it's important to stay calm, and I instructed everyone to wait for a minute while I retraced our path to search for the kid. I groaned in frustration and annoyance as this dumb child had caused the godforsaken hike to be even longer than it already was. I did appreciate the quietness as my distance between the group got larger and larger. I examined each side of the forest and began to call out the kid's full name in an audibly evident annoying tone of voice, but I was met with no response. I continued to walk farther and farther away while screaming the boy's name, and just when I was about to give up, I heard something. I stopped in my tracks and listened. I could hear slow and quiet footsteps coming from my left, but they sounded like no humans I had ever heard. I turned to my left and carefully examined the area where I had heard the footsteps, but I couldn't see anything. Suddenly, the footsteps stopped. I knocked it down to it just being a wild animal, so I began to walk farther down and shout the child's name again. But that's when I heard the footsteps again. They were still slow and quiet, but they were audibly, evidently much closer than they were before. I stopped in my tracks again, this time being paranoid that something or someone was following me. I noticed that when I had stopped, so did the footsteps. I decided to test a theory and I began to walk again, and sure enough, my hypothesis was correct. When I walked, I heard footsteps, and I was still. It went silent. At that point, I was certain that someone or something was following me, but I didn't have the slightest clue as to what. I was certain that a wild animal wouldn't follow me this carefully and stop when I did, so it had to be something with around the same sentience and awareness as me, but I knew it couldn't be human from the sound of the footsteps alone. I looked around, desperately hoping to see what was following me, so I didn't have to stay in this state of unknowing paranoia for a moment longer. And that's when I saw it. Two yellow and wolfish eyes staring at me from an entire foot above me, attached to an inhuman and dog-like body. I could only describe the creature as the Dogman. Pure panic enveloped every bit of me, and I absolutely booked it back to the group that I was leading. The group looked worried and concerned when I arrived, looking worried and panicked. I explained to them that there was a dangerous wild animal and that we would need to turn back. The group obliged, but the entire way back, the woman whose son who had gone missing was screaming and crying. I felt terribly bad as I was almost positive that the creature in the woods was responsible for her missing son. I made it back to my office and saw my supervisor calmly sitting in a chair, working on something in his computer. I explained to him what I had seen, and I explained I was absolutely certain that it was a dog man. I remember that once I said the words dog and man, his face instantly got worried, and then quickly turned angry. He told me to shut the F up and never speak of that fake creature again. I was extremely taken aback by his reaction and thought it was undoubtedly suspicious. He went on telling me that I needed to continue the tour at once or else I would be fired, and to never cancel the tour over seeing what he called a stray dog in the forest again. I really didn't want to continue the tour, but I knew that I needed this job or I would be homeless on the streets in no time. I sighed and agreed to my supervisor before going outside and back to the group. I was halfway down the stairs connecting to the office before I stopped when I heard him start to say something on his radio. He began to talk quietly about something that sounded secretive and urgent. I couldn't fully hear him, but I heard the words, problem, and the phrases, he's onto something, and dog man. I was certain he was speaking about what I had just told him. I mistook him saying, he's onto something, as him possibly admitting that I was right about seeing him. At that moment, I decided that I was going to try to gather evidence to prove to my supervisor and everyone else that Dogman does, in fact, exist. I went to my locker and sneakily grabbed my cell phone, which we weren't supposed to have on the clock, but I knew to gather evidence I would need hard concrete photo evidence. I slipped my phone into my pocket and started to join the group when I realized I had been so caught up in trying to convince my supervisor that the dog man exists that I had completely forgotten to tell him about the missing child. I instantly turned back and ran to the office, feeling guilty that I had forgotten to say something. I entered the office and explained to my supervisor that a child had gone missing and that I thought the stray dog I had seen was responsible. His face grew worried and he scolded me for not telling him until right now. He stood up and briskly walked to the door and exited the office. I caught up with him and then saw him run to the group and start yelling angrily at the mothers whose kid had gone missing. I was extremely taken aback by the scene and ran over there myself, and I gained the courage to turn the tables and yell at my supervisor for once. I yelled at him, saying that he was being incredibly rude for yelling at this woman whose child had just gone missing. And he fired back, saying that he was in the right and the woman was irresponsible for letting her child get lost. I opened my mouth to retaliate, but he noticed and told me if I said one more word, I would get fired. I closed my mouth and sighed out of frustration. I turned to face the mother, and she thanked me for standing up for her. I told her she was welcome, and my supervisor scolded me once more for showing such irresponsible mother sympathy. My supervisor instructed me to conduct a solo search for the missing child at once. I was terrified to do so after seeing what I was certain was a dog man, but I obliged. I started down the trail again. I took shaky deep breaths as I ventured deeper and deeper down the trail. It was similar to a hot and cold game. Each step I took, I felt as if my anxiety and paranoia was growing twofold. Eventually, I reached the point where I had seen the dogman, and I anxiously awaited the familiar footsteps that I somehow knew would return at one point or another. After it had been 5 minutes and I was way past the point in the trail where I had seen the dogman and began hearing the footsteps, I felt a small sense of relief. However, that relief was very short-lived, because just as I untensed my muscles and slowed my pace, the footsteps started again. Anxiety began to surge through my veins, and I began to take shaky and rapid shallow breaths. I turned and was met with the absolutely gut-wrenching scene of what could only be a dogman silently stalking me from behind a tree. I felt as if I was about to pass out from pure anxiety, but I knew that I needed to do what I had brought my phone out here for. I pulled out my phone, shaking the entire time, and opened the camera app. I shakily raised the camera so that the dogman was in perfect view, and I hit record. I didn't know what else I should do besides standing there and record, when suddenly an idea clicked. I wanted to make sure that the video could not somehow be deleted, so I opened every social media app on my phone, glancing at the dog every few seconds, and posted the video on all my social media accounts. I was disappointed when I instantly got an error message instantly after posting the videos that stated the video I had posted violated the site's community guidelines. I became incredibly suspicious of that. I looked up at my phone and was horrified to see the dogman was no longer in front of me, meaning he could be absolutely anywhere and I wouldn't have the slightest clue. I began to frantically look around for any signs of the dogman, somewhat hoping I would see him again just so that I could at least know where he was. I became disappointed and my anxiety increased twofold when I couldn't find him. Suddenly I had a brilliant idea. I walked over to where the dogman once stood, and there it was, the footprints of the dogman, going back as far as the eye could see. The footprints were large and definitely not similar to a normal dog's at all. I pulled out my phone and began to trace his steps and record the footprints on the ground. I had another good idea and opened my messages app. I sent the two attachments of the video of Dogman and the video of his footprints to someone on my contacts, but I was hit with an error message saying that all the messages could not be delivered because of technical difficulties. I thought that was incredibly bizarre because I had full bars of service. I decided to run a test but sent all my contacts other photos and videos, which all sent perfectly fine. And I tried to resend the Dogman videos and photos, but they refused to send once more. I sighed in defeat and remembered what I had come here for, to find the missing child. I ventured off the trail and into the forest, knowing he was more than likely in there. The thought of the child already being dead crossed my mind, and I had to stop myself from being sick. Suddenly, an absolutely all-consuming wave of dread washed over me when I stumbled across a horrific scene. A child's mutilated body that was covered in claw marks. I couldn't stop myself from screaming in pure mental agony and horror. I pulled out my phone and took a picture, thinking it would be helpful somehow. Suddenly, footsteps became auditory evidence, and I was met with the scene of the dogman charging towards me, looking absolutely hungry. I froze in a numb and fearful acceptance that I was about to pass away by this horrific creature. My entire life flashed before my eyes in an instant. As he became incredibly close, I closed my eyes and put my arms in front of me to shield myself out of instinct, but after a few seconds of doing so, I realized that I was still alive. I opened my eyes and was met with the scene of the dogman running away with the child's body. I screamed and instantly ran out of the forest, knowing that I had ample evidence to show my supervisor. After a while of running, I made it back to the group. I was panting and extremely out of breath. I felt as if I was about to fall unconscious from the overlapping stress, hangover, lack of breakfast, and lack of sleep. The group looked incredibly worried, and rightfully so, considering how distressed I looked. It was pretty evident that I had just witnessed something pretty terrible go down. My supervisor didn't seem worried, though. He just looked annoyed, as if somehow knew what I was about to say, and wasn't looking forward to what he was going to have to do about it. I asked my supervisor if we could briefly speak in private, to which he tried to decline, but I insisted, and eventually he gave in. We walked a few dozen paces away from the group, and I explained that I had found the child's dead body, and that I had saw the dog man and even got video proof. He accused me of lying, and repeatedly declined when I kept offering to show him the video proof, but finally he obliged. I pulled out my phone and showed him all the photos and videos that I had, and while he was watching them, he seemed incredibly distressed and started to curse at me. I was taken aback and asked him why he was so angry at me, to which he replied by demanding me to delete the content off my phone at once. I refused to meet his demand. He forcefully grabbed my phone out of my hand and smashed it on the ground, causing it to shatter and break to a point of no repair. I was extremely taken aback by his response, and I looked over and saw that the group was also very shocked to see what my supervisor had just done. My supervisor suddenly grabbed me by the wrist and started to pull me while he took us back to the office. I tried to let go of his grasp, but he was incredibly strong. Once we made it into the office, he told me to wait by my desk while he made a phone call. I waited by my desk only so that I could hear what he was saying. I heard his radio beep and he spoke. "Code Goddamn," I repeat, "Code Goddamn," into the radio. At the time, I couldn't understand what the cryptic code meant, but I now realized it was most likely being used as an anagram for Dogman. Suddenly, my supervisor came back out and told me that he had some work for me to do on the Eastern Trail immediately. I told him that I refused to do that considering the missing child case that was currently happening, and that I had seen the Dogman. He replied by saying that he would fire me on the spot and get me blacklisted from every workplace in the country if I did not go out to the Eastern Trail and fulfill his work request at once. I obliged painfully and opened the door to the office, my head sunken from despair, and I started my short journey to the Eastern Trail. I was too naive to know it at the time, but this was all an elaborate trap set up by my supervisor. I made it over to the Eastern Trail and realized he hadn't even specified what work had to be done on the trail, just that there was work to be done. I looked around, trying to find something broken or something that looked like it needed to be worked on, but I couldn't find anything in that category. It was at that point I decided I should head back to the office and ask my supervisor to be more specific about what was needed to be done. Suddenly, I heard the sound of engines coming from all directions of the trails. The engines got closer and closer until a large swarm of black SUVs were coming at me from all directions. I froze in my tracks from complete disorientation and fear. The SUVs slowed to a crawl in front of me and behind me, and suddenly dozens of men dressed in all black from head to toe came out of the SUVs and charged at me. I put my hands up and one of them pulled out a baton, and that was the last thing I remember before I was brutally smacked unconscious in the head with a baton. The next thing I remember was waking up, seeing only pitch black. I tried to move my arms and legs, but I realized they were chained up, and I couldn't even move them, and I heard a sound that could only be chains. Suddenly, a distorted and deep voice became evident. The voice told me that I must stop speaking about the Dogman, or that there would be serious consequences, and they were sure I didn't want to mess with them. I was enveloped with pure fear and paranoia. I tried to scream, but my mouth was duct taped shut. Suddenly, I felt someone jab something into my arm. and an overwhelming and uncontrollable sense of sleeplessness washed over me. I remember waking up on my front lawn an unknown amount of time later with an absolutely raging headache. My throat was dry, and my stomach had a deep hunger. I knew that I must have not consumed water or food in days. I sat up and looked around, only to see a new version of the phone my supervisor had smashed earlier. I picked it up and saw a notification. It was a text from my supervisor that explained I was indefinitely fired and that there would be serious consequences if I tried to return to the park or disclose any false information about the park. After that, I went inside and consumed as much water and food that I probably ever have in my life. I don't know who silenced me that day. Was it the government? A secret agency? I guess I'll never know. But what I do know is that I want to spread the truth about the Dog Man.